Now, medical technology and innovation now mean that many of us no longer have to put up with pain and wear and tear that life or injury imposes on our bones. Good news. Hip and knee replacements in particular are increasingly common. So this evening, surgeon Maurice Nelligan, Director of Orthopaedics at Dublin's Beacon Hospital, is joining us to talk about joint repairs and replacements and how, if we can, avoid them. But first, let's listen to some of your experiences.
I'm 60 years of age and I have bursitis of the hip as well as the normal wear and tear. And I've been getting cortisone injections into my hip for the past couple of years. They have literally been a game changer for me because I love to walk and I have a busy life and I need to get them every 4 to 5 months. But they literally take the pain away. And my consultant has told me that I can keep getting them as long as they continue to work. So long may they continue to work.
I had a total hip replacement 3 years ago for an osteoarthritis, which was aggravating a long-standing back problem. The only inconvenience, which I didn't like at all, was the pressure bandages or whatever that were applied to my legs to prevent DVT, obviously, and very good reason. But they were very uncomfortable and very annoying. And they prevented me from having a sleep for the first 2 nights, which I found was counterproductive. However, other than that, pain was minimal. I had an uneventful time at home. I'm lucky I lived near the hospital, so I was able to go in for my physios on a frequent basis. And I was back to full operation within about 6 weeks.
Well, before my knee replacement surgery, I was in constant pain, which impaired my walking, my sleep, and my interaction with my grandchildren. In fact, my whole life. After surgery, within a few weeks, the pain was minimal. I could walk better. I could sleep. I could do more activities with my grandsons. I am now pain-free and able to live a much better active life.
Maurice, welcome to Supercharge. We heard lots of different experiences there, some of which we're going to touch on in our chat. You specialise in elective orthopaedic surgery. Can you explain to us what that actually includes and who might need it?
So elective really means planned surgeries. Mm-hmm. So what we intend to do. So they're usually for patients' quality of life. Mm. So they're not life and death decisions that people are making, but there have been, as with your Vox Pop there, people that have been putting up with pain for a long time and they get to a stage where they say, well, I'm going to do something about this. And that they will start that journey usually with their physiotherapist or their GP. And sometimes they'll end the journey with people like us.
And in terms then of, I suppose, age range of people that are looking at repairs and replacements, is there a common age for it or does it kind of stretch across the whole bandwidth?
I suppose it stretches across the whole bandwidth. We replace hips in people into their hundreds if they have fractures. That's a life-saving operation is necessary. For osteoarthritis, which is the main thing that we deal with, that would be usually patients from their sort of 50s into their 80s, perhaps into their 90s. But that does expand a little bit as we get a little bit more technologically savvy and the implants become better. The indications and age range sort of sneaks out a little bit. I think the youngest patient I've done for a hip replacement is 28 for pure hip osteoarthritis. We did both his hips.
Oh.
And
very young.
And there are risks that are associated with that. But the patients get to the stage where they make the decisions themselves. You help them make decisions and then they weigh up the pros and cons of what they need. The oldest patient probably somewhere into the 90s for elective surgery, you know, because it gets a little bit more risky. Patients don't have as much reserve at that stage for recovery. So every patient is going on their separate journey and it's our job to try and help them, you know, try and fit into that journey and to help them have a successful outcome.
If someone listening right now is toying with that idea, you know, of having a replacement, and we're not talking about repairs, which we'll get to in a moment, how ultimately do they decide? Because like you said, there's risks, there's big considerations. Is it like, what's their thought process to make that decision? Obviously with your guidance too. Okay.
So, I mean, first of all, many patients will start with their general practitioner, their physiotherapy, and that will involve what we would call non-operative measures, physiotherapy, sometimes weight loss, sometimes exercise programs, medication. And a lot of those things can be effective. When they reach us, then we're not always talking about surgery as a first option. Patients may need to be medically worked up. There are other alternatives such as injections that may be helpful.
Yeah, we heard about the cortisol.
Correct, yeah. Yes. That may give people a little bit more time. And one of your patients mentioned plasma injections, which mm-hmm. we do a bit of. They may buy patients a little bit more time. At the end of the day, however, a lot of patients may find that those injections are not helpful or they only last a short period of time. And then in my practice, I'd be very keen that patients are bad enough to consider having it done. So someone that comes and says, well, I get a little bit of pain after playing 18 holes of golf, I struggle, maybe not for them, but somebody that has difficulty sleeping at night or walking a couple of hundred yards, well, then they're moving into the range where a replacement is a real option for them and certainly would improve
it's
the
really
quality of their life.
Impacting their day-to-day.
Absolutely.
As you said, like you said at the beginning, the quality of their life has been severely impacted.
Absolutely.
This might sound like an obvious question, but I'm sure there's some people probably screaming it at the radios right now. How can people avoid even needing joint repair and replacement in the first place?
I think that's a great question. Well, first of all, you can't dodge your genetics. You know, if okay. you've got a heavy genetic load for arthritis, that'll probably feed through. So one of the questions we always ask is, have your parents or uncles or aunts or people around you have had joint replacement?
Okay.
And more frequently than not, they will have had. Some patients may have had an injury in the past which will predispose them towards something, possibly a sports injury. Mm-hmm. They may have had previous surgery before. I think weight is important. So managing your weight as you get older, I think, is important and may help you. I think exercise is absolutely key for people. And we're not against exercise. And I'm a big, big fan of exercise as medicine. For helping patients. And there have been studies shown in patients that have had fairly bad symptoms that have got into exercise programs and found that they've been able to avoid people like us for years. So there's lots of things that we should explore beforehand. So everybody that sits in front of me is not going for an operation. We're having a chat on getting to know them. And then sometimes, of course, the first time you meet patients, their symptoms are so bad, and maybe their x-rays or whatever will say, OK, well, you need to have this done. But there are many other patients that are just really looking for information and starting that journey. And I like to go on what I describe as a journey with those patients until they get to the stage where they say, OK, now it's time to go. Let's do it.
Let's just talk about the stress in our day-to-day, you know, bodies and on our joints. Like, what level of stress? Because people think sometimes, oh, I have to be running 10K a day in order for there to be a level of stress in bodies. But our daily movements, I would imagine, cause us to put stress in our joints.
Absolutely. As you're sitting there now, twice your body weight's passing through your patellofemoral joint. As you go up and down the stairs, about 10 times your body weight will pass through the patellofemoral joint. That's a very common joint for patients to come and say, I get pain in the front of my knees, you know, as I'm getting older. So sometimes younger patients. So we're always, you know, if you must move. Movement is life. That's the motto of the AO, who are our sort of founding principles are based on a lot of their work. So movement is life. It's really important to be moving. So we encourage people to be moving and active rather than mm-hmm. sitting around.
Keep the joints moving.
That's yeah, it. And try not to be sedentary.
Yeah, and I suppose it's our attitude as well towards exercise. You know, we look at it as a form of punishment, but actually the daily pain that we deal with, I would imagine through neck or to knee pain and hip pain is a form of torture for a lot of people. So it's almost like choose your hard.
Yeah, get out sure.
Do your walks and get out ahead
of
it.
I think if it's getting worse, if you're getting pain and it's getting worse, then you need to go and talk to somebody. Usually physiotherapists are really, really mm-hmm. helpful. So a patient say to me, you know, can I keep going doing this? And I say, so long as it doesn't make you painful, I'm happy for you to continue what you're doing. But if it makes you painful, stop and ask somebody, am I doing the wrong thing?
We've been talking about knee pain. We actually have someone that's contacted us about that.
My name is Deirdre Gallagher. 15 months ago, I had a full knee replacement, which was very painful, slow recovery, with severe difficulty in doing the physio. But having said that, up until my operation, I was unable to play my golf, swimming in the sea, line dancing, walking, outdoor activities that I enjoyed doing. So I had to endure, painful steroid injections, and in the latter times, plasma injections, which were excellent, very beneficial, but only short-lived. So I decided to go ahead and have the big operation. It was difficult at the time, But now I'm back to all my activities. Severe pain has gone, and I really do think it was well worth taking the plunge.
Because it started off, I wasn't quite sure. I was like, oh God, this doesn't sound like it was very successful. But she pulled it back and she just talked about how it was life-changing for her. When it comes to knee replacements, how successful are they and what's involved?
So I think that's a classic story there that your patient is telling. And it's important to be aware of what's happening. I would say to patients, about 80% of people will be happy they had a knee replacement done. About 15% of people will say that they thought they might be a little bit better afterwards. And about 5% will say, I'm actually worse after this operation than I was beforehand, which are very, very markedly different results from hip replacement. Mm-hmm. So knees, you really need to be bad enough to have those done. And then you have to say, well, what's the alternative to having my knee done? And that lady mentioned injections. Mm-hmm. But sooner or later, you may run out of road with those as well. So once you get to that stage, then patients will make their own decision. You will help them make their decision. Some patients say, I just don't want it. But lots of patients like that lady will say, yes, I want to have it done. And they will go through a very similar journey to that lady. I meet a lot of patients that come in and say, well, my neighbour had it done and he was playing golf after 2 weeks. Well, I'd love to meet those patients because I don't think they exist. So it's hard work afterwards. And I say,
how long's the recovery? What are you talking?
So what I say to patients is, I tell them the operation takes an hour and a half. You're in hospital for 3 to 4 days. You're on crutches for 4 to 6 weeks. You're going to regret having this done for the first 3 months. And it's 6 months to a year before you get your final result, before that's as good as it's going to get.
You mentioned plasma injections. Just to say, what actually are they?
So plasma is the liquid element of your blood. So you take a syringe of blood, you spin that in a centrifuge. The heavier blood cells settle to the bottom. The yellow plasma is at the top, and that's can be injected back into the joints in different types of preparations. But basically what it does is it contains lots of different growth factors. So we don't know that stem cells are effective in joint in joints yet. The science just isn't there yet to say that works. But there is good evidence to say that in some patients, especially in earlier forms of arthritis, plasma can be helpful.
We have a question in about hip replacements and how successful they can be.
Okay, so after cardiac bypass surgery, which I know a bit about because that's what my dad did, hip replacement is the second most effective operation in all of the operations in surgery for relieving pain. It's a life-changing operation. 97% of patients are happy. 70% of patients out a year forget they've had it done.
Well, so this person here will be delighted to hear you say it, I think. And actually, we have a voice note in from someone.
Hi, Anna. This is Patty. I had my first encounter with orthopedic surgeon for my hip in 1999. The reason I wanted to have it done at that time, and it is myself that was pushing it, I was moving very slowly around the golf course and my friends were miles ahead of me. So I had a consultation with the surgeon. He was reluctant to do it, but I persuaded him. So I had it done, and I have that same hip is still perfect. Now, the year before last, then I started having trouble with the other hip, and I decided I should go for that one, to have that one replaced as well. So I went down in September of 2024, had it done, and within a few weeks I was up, very mobile by Christmas time. And I would recommend it highly to anybody. Don't wait around, go and do it, it's great.
But there, like you said, the success rate is high, and he's convinced many people, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's a great story, yeah.
Another question is 82 too old to have a revision done on my hip replacement?
No is the answer. Revision surgery is where the old joint is either worn out for whatever reason. It really depends why it's worn out. And sometimes you're left with no option because the bones may fracture around it or whatever. But often they will be done in specialist centres by people that have a lot of expertise. Often a special equipment is needed. And they'll often go through a process where a number of surgeons will discuss their case beforehand and plan out what needs to be done. But 82 is not too old. And if the patient's suffering and they're in good health, there's no reason why they shouldn't have a good outcome.
A few questions in about returning to sport after a replacement. You're smiling. What is your opinion?
So, I mean, obviously, Sean O'Brien and Andy Murray both returned to sport after what are called hip resurfacings. Now, with hip replacements, many of the hip replacements, you can return to nearly everything. And there's good evidence that that's the case. Not so much with knee replacements. I think in my hands, what I tell my patients is you'll be able to ski easier slopes. You'll be able to play golf. You'll be able to climb a mountain. But, you know, you'll be able to play a bit of tennis. But in terms of like long distance running or contact sports, I wouldn't be too happy with my patients trying that.
Before we wrap up, is there any final words of wisdom that you'd like to give people listening about their joints?
I just say I'm a big fan of exercise. I think that's really key. I think patients should remain active as much as possible. And if you're struggling, ask somebody and see if it's right for you or what particular journey that you can go on.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for. Many thanks to Maurice Nelligan, Director of Orthopaedic Surgery at the Beacon Hospital. Thank you so much for coming in and joining us in Supercharged.